Okay, it's so good to be back with you for another GoldSeek.com Radio Gold Nugget segment. Today's special guest, Richard Doughty, a.k.a. the Magambo Guru. Richard Doughty publishes the Magambo Guru economic newsletter in the sunny state of Florida. Welcome back, Richard.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. It's wonderful to be here.
We've seen this U.S. dollar, a revival recently, still, though, trapped within a trading range for a number of years as investors try to figure out, is the Fed serious about this hawkish talk? And what exactly will that mean for the markets? Gold is the antithesis of the U.S. dollar, as John Embry says on this week's show. So tell me what you think about this dollar strength. Is this a temporary phenomenon, or is it something that we're going to have to contend with for some time?
Well, you know, there's just so many slimy shenanigans going on. There's just so much money at stake that, I mean, it involves governments right up from the central bank to the top. This thing has big repercussions as to trade balances and whatnot, and how many trillions of dollars of U.S. debt they're sitting on, which would be adversely affected by a dollar that's doing bad things. And so who knows, Chris? They're going to do everything they can to keep it going. That's all I know.
If our officials really took the time to think about the reverberations that could come from these manipulations, because in the models, sure, it works great. You know, you've got your x-axis and your y-axis and your demand curve and your supply curve. Everything remains equal. In the real world, as I alluded to, the reverberations can be devastating. They don't always come right away. Sometimes, you know, the butterfly flaps its wings in New Guinea, and it takes a little while for chaos theory to bring the hurricane or the tornado to North America. But we know the cogs are in motion, aren't they?
Well, you know, it's funny you should mention that butterfly flapping its wings thing, because that made a big impact on me when I first came across it. That's exactly right. This little butterfly effect is like a domino effect, but the dominoes keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So they have to keep this thing going. Everybody's money is in the stock market. You know, they somehow equated savings with investment, that they're being equal. And now everybody's money is in the stock market. There's no savings whatsoever. And a little bit of savings you think you have in the bank, that's swept into treasury instruments every night. So you're in the stock and the bond market. Everybody is, all their money. And so things are magnificent, gigantic repercussions, just like you said, when you're talking about all the money, all of it.
You're a student of the markets, and you have been for decades. When I hear the Magambo say everybody's on one side of the market, I get nervous.
You should get nervous. Well, that's one of the axioms of investing, is that the majority of investors have to be wrong and lose money so that a small minority of investors can make money. It's kind of a zero-sum game. It's actually less than a zero-sum game once you sum game after you subtract all the commissions and fees and taxes and blah, blah, blah. So majority of investors have to be wrong. They're all in the stock and the bond markets. They all have to be wrong, except for the few people out here like me and like you, I assume, pounding the table for gold and silver because it's the only real money. Everything else is going to go down the tubes pretty soon.
We're certainly sharing the same side of this Titanic economy, at least. But we also have to acknowledge the fact that it has been a challenging couple of years here for those of us in this camp. We want happy days to return. Give us an idea. Look into the crystal ball and let us know.
Well, a guy named Ravi Batra did that very same thing, and he looked at how things go in cycles, and the last cycle is the acquisition stage, and that's where we are, and everything collapses into ashes, and then you have chaos, and then you have order rising out of chaos and strongman governments, and so that's basically the way it's going to work out this time, too. It's all going to have to crash, and then we'll rebuild from the ashes like a phoenix rising from the ashes.
If I decipher the Magambo speak correctly, it's all inevitable. It's written in stone. The timing is a little more challenging.
That is a very pithy way of saying it. Congratulations. That is exactly right. These things are winding to their inevitable conclusion, which is going to be bad news for everybody. This is the same thing that governments have been doing for the last 2,500 years. They've been borrowing themselves into bankruptcy, and they can flail around with paper currencies all they want. The end result is inflation and ruin, inflation and prices, the revolt of the masses, and ruination of everything.
I wouldn't be as inclined to procure sound money if most of the pundits, most of the talking heads, most of the mainline media, most of the financial advisors were saying, well, you know, you need to have at least 15 to 25% of gold and silver investments or assets in your portfolio in the event of an unforeseen black swan 5 or 10 sigma event. Don't we? We have hurricanes, don't we? We have storm. Show me the guy that predicts them accurately every time. Okay, yes, we can see a hurricane coming for a couple of days. I know you keep your eye on that radar screen. We need a life raft. We need to have a bunker to protect us in the financial markets. They're a little more tricky, I think, than even the weather in most cases. And that's what I'm hearing from you. I'm hearing if everybody in the U.S. had a nice cushion, a nice 10 or 20% of their nest egg, you know, locked up safely, we'd be fine. But we don't, and not even pension funds. The pension funds have less than one half of 1% invested in the precious metals. Think of what's going to happen when even a pittance of that rolls into it. I'd like your thoughts.
It's funny because pension funds are, we're talking, $7, $12 trillion, and all the gold in the world is not worth $1 trillion.
Well, you know what the irony of that is, though? It's going to be worth $7 to $10 trillion one day, isn't it? Or more.
Yes, it is. That's the lesson of history. That's what I find so perplexing. It's right there in every history book, basically, what happened at the end of this thing, and people with silver and gold did very, very well, and everybody else did not.
You make it sound so simple. Let's keep going with this. Keep the ball rolling, because there are a lot of interesting topicality here. We haven't even talked about the geopolitical issues on the table. This drama that's breaking out, although we've had a temporary ceasefire, but between Russia and Ukraine, I bring it up in front of every guest, and it looks to me like this is going to be a hot button. This is going to be the next hot spot on the radar screen. You know, and it is a strategically significant focal point because it's where West meets Russia. And you remember the last time around, that was the Cold War. Let us know what you think.
I think that it all has to do with the money. If it wasn't for people owing so much money, they wouldn't be resorting to these drastic measures. Well, what did the first thing Russia do? They cut off the gas to Ukraine. I mean, that's saving money. Where's my money? Show me the money. There's just so much money owed that can't be paid back. The only thing you can do is just knock them out. And so that's what this whole thing is all about. It's all about the money. They owe so much, and they got to get it somehow, and they got to find a way not to pay somehow. And that's exactly what happens every time. The government resorts to a war to give them an excuse to do a lot of government spending, and they tell the people to be patriotic and pony up their money for some bonds, and everybody has a wonderful time. If everybody's sitting around there fat and sassy, and they got no problems at all about money, and are watching game shows on TV, they're not going to be rioting and taking over other countries. No, these people are desperate.
Well, you know, we do see some desperation, don't we? Because we're seeing the ministers at the European Union drop interest rates to the lowest level of any central bank that I can find in history. In fact, one of their benchmark lending rates now, their key rates, is under zero. How do you lend at under zero? Let me have your money, and why don't you just give me a little bit of it for the opportunity of handing me your money?
It is preposterous, and it's obviously doomed to failure. But the most exciting thing recently is the article that appeared in the account by the Council of Foreign Relations, who is a big shot bunch of shadowy guys who do all kinds of, got all kinds of power and whatnot, and they're recommending giving money to people directly, just giving money to people, and that's changing the dynamic. Right now, the dropping interest rates benefits the supply side. Manufacturers and whatnot are supposed to gear up and sell to people that don't have any money. Oh, it's obviously not working. We're up to our ears in debt, so nobody's going to be borrowing money to start a new plant and equipment. But if you give money to people to just spend, now you switch to the supply side. And suddenly, I think it's significant that that article came out from the Council on Foreign Relations. It's really kind of spooking me out. And so where to invest? Well, that money's got to go somewhere. So they're going to have something where they're going to get money into the hands of people who will spend it. Remember those tax rebates? We had a tax rebate one. Well, how about that now? Or just actually show up at the bank and they give you a couple of packets of $100 bills. It's basically what we're going to boil down to. I think what basically they're trying now is we're hiring a lot of people to run, to sign people up for welfare, and a lot of people are getting on welfare, so that's pumping a lot of money into the economy. And I think that's the way the government is attacking it so far. A lot of people are getting welfare and disability benefits.
Frederick the Great of Prussia would echo your thoughts right now. You know, that's what this reminds me of. You might recall his saying, all strategy goes out the window as soon as the first shots are fired. This is what we kind of opened the discussion, the dialogue with today. This concept of the models work great on paper until the first shots are fired.
Until the first contact with the enemy, and suddenly we're in big trouble.
Okay, so where does this lead? Now, we know that we have this nascent recovery, as they're calling it. I mean, apparently folks are back at work. Of course, most of the numbers that I'm seeing behind the scenes seem to indicate people are kind of tossing up their hands and saying, you know what, I give up trying to find meaningful employment. People seem to be despondent, though. But, you know, our officials want us to think that.
The government always says things are wonderful. That's what they do. They don't want to go around telling people, hey, we're doing a bad job here, and so you ought to be panicking in the street. No, they're going to try to calm you down. They got an election coming up. I mean, they got problems. They don't want to be rocking any boats. So, everything's going to be just fine, no matter how much they have to lie about it, no matter how many statistics they have to torture, no matter how many complete fabrications they actually come out of nowhere.
If you're not along with the party mantra, you threaten confidence. I love this word, confidence. What is this fear of rattling confidence? A robust, strong, solid economy, hardworking, you know, results-oriented, productive workforce doesn't need to be confident. I mean, it's part of the equation. It's already in the function. If you're in a Ponzi scheme, what happens when the Ponzi scheme, people start to wake up and lose confidence in the scheme, the whole thing implodes.
Yeah, that's why they're so dramatic in their response to anybody that's telling the truth about anything. What is it? George Orwell said that the first casualty is truth. But they have to keep this thing going. As soon as confidence goes and things start going downhill, it can spiral out of control. And we're talking everybody's money, all of it. It's not like you have any savings at home anymore. If you might even have $100 under your mattress there, well, adult buying power of that $100 isn't going anywhere. I'm telling you, that's going to be depreciated along with everything else. You're just going to have a little pile of paper at the end. There's no way to get around this thing except to buy gold and silver, which is the history of the ages. That it's infallible, it's guaranteed, it has never failed. No government scheme has ever worked. All the governments have got into this situation sooner or later, and these schemes have never, ever worked. And I don't think it's going to work again this.
Exactly. And, you know, George Bernard Shaw, since we're on to quotes, echoed Oscar Wilde's sentiments when he said, if you're going to tell people the truth, you better make them laugh. Otherwise, all right. Well, so where are we now? We're looking at the markets. We're back at the metals markets. And I guess you can look at it from two perspectives. You can say this cup is half empty or the other way around. And it was time for the herd to stop, graze a bit, refresh, you know, catch their breath before the next big stampede. Give us an idea when you think that's going to come to pass.
Glass is completely full. This is the best time to buy metals you ever saw. The government just got through having a case dismissed from court because the plaintiffs had no standing about manipulating the gold and silver market. The government argued it is perfectly legal under the Exchange Stabilization Act to manipulate any market, and yes, they're manipulating the gold and silver markets, but it's perfectly legal, so they don't have a case against it. There's a lot of people out there that don't care about what happens in the United States. They care about what's happening in their country.
Isn't that a key takeaway point? Because we just read this week that China has opened up its market for the first time fully here for gold and silver investing. They open up their market to foreigners. That's direct access for investors into their new markets. As you may know, China's Shanghai market actually delivers something like 7 to 10 times more gold than the Globex or the Comex, which I think is a remarkable thing because the Shanghai market is a tiny fraction of a market, but they're doing what a market is supposed to do. In Shanghai, they recognize people might just want their gold. People buy and sell.
If you were China, you had a 3,000-year history with gold. You understand the significance of gold, as should we, since it is written into our Constitution that money shall only be silver and gold. But they do, and they got a lot of dollars. And what do they do with that dollar? Why not manipulate the COMEX? It keeps the price down, so they keep buying a lot of gold through Shanghai and Singapore and Hong Kong and who knows where else, gold at these depressed prices. It would be a big coup for them because they want a gold-backed currency. Everybody does. Everybody wants one. Nobody is willing to pay the price of having one, which is you can't reward your friends with lucrative government money.
If that's not cuisine for cogitation.
Cuisine for cogitation, alliterative and everything. I am very impressed with you, Chris.
That's a great place, I think, to wrap up today's discussion. Tell us any contact information you'd like for folks so they can find out more about Richard Daughtie's work as AKA the Mogambo.
Well, a guy named Doug has a website called MogamboGuru.com. Probably is the one I write every once in a while, but I don't write much anymore. But it can be found there. And other people are very nice about posting it on their websites, including Goldseek. And
it's always fun chatting with you. We're going to look forward to having you back on the show.
It's always wonderful being here with you, Chris. Thank you.